blessings. I've already been blessed this morning. Good looking bunch. Amen. Got your Bibles, turn to the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus this morning. Pray just a little while. Lord, it seems like to give us a thought, and I don't know exactly how we'll go, but we're just going to trust Him this morning. He's been good to me. Been a great week. God's blessed us with. We're alive and well enough to come into His house one more time. And nothing else, we got something to shout about, just that.
Amen.
We could be in the hospital, the rest home, we could be in the funeral home.
Amen.
So God's blessed us again to be in His house. I appreciate it. 14th chapter of the book of, 13th chapter, I'm sorry, the book of Exodus, pray. We'll read a couple of verses or three there. And maybe read some other places this morning. But you all pray just a little while. I don't know where you stand at with God, but you know and God knows. And that's what's personal about this thing. It's nothing I can do for my children or anybody else. As much as I love them, I can't save them and I can't make them be saved. They got to make that choice in their life. And that's the way it is with every individual. You've got to make that choice somewhere in life. And I believe where you make that choice at, you'll remember the place you got saved, and maybe even the place you rejected God. And that will be a place, if you reject God, no doubt that you'll remember for eternity.
Yeah.
I thought about the rich man that died and went to hell. The Bible said he knew he had five brothers because he told Father Abraham to send Lazarus back to warn his brothers. I thought about how we'll have a memory in eternity, and I'm glad my memory will be that night that I trusted Christ as my Savior. And that was my ticket out of hell. And it can be your ticket today. Christ paid the fare. He paid the price. He was the ransom. And it was paid in full that day. And you can have a changed life from this point on.
Right.
You can be different. You can be, the Bible said that when you're saved and you're in Christ, that you're a new creature.
Right.
And said all old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. And a lot of people might think, well, my old car is going to become new. No, your outlook on life, your mind will change, and you will be new. Everything about you will be different. And He don't rebuild you, He regenerates you. You've got a new birth, and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what the spiritual birth is about. And a lot of people don't take it that way, and they say, well, sign a book, shake preacher's hand, or join a church. Even some says get baptized. But they have to be a new birth come into your life. You have to be a new creature. And that's why that you'll witness the Spirit of God in your life, and you'll know right from wrong and all of that. And when you don't do right, you don't have to go to somebody and ask them if you have or not, because God will show you through the Spirit. He said if you don't have the Spirit, you're none of His. And I don't know where all this has come, but I know where it's come from, but somebody needs it this morning. 14, 13th chapter of the book of Exodus. We're going to read about three verses, the last three verses of that chapter. We desire your prayers this morning. And at this point, this is a point that the children of Israel had been brought out of Egypt, out of bondage, and how that everybody probably has heard the story of Moses. Now that the Bible said that God sent him down into Egypt to bring them out. But I thought about when God brings you out of bondage, He don't leave you.
Yeah.
He's still there with you. And I'm glad that He is, or we'd probably go right back into Egypt, you might say. And I'm glad He leads you. The Bible says in the 20th verse, He said that they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by the day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for this day. Father, we need You this morning above everything. We need Your presence, Your power. Father, we need Your anointing to come down and lead us in the right way to go. Father, we just ask You to have Your way in this service. If there's one here lost, Father, I beg you this morning, convict their heart. Father, I just would love to see somebody saved this morning. That's my desire. Father, I know that you'll save them if they'll come through your darling son. All these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Probably everybody's heard the story of how that God led the children of Israel out of Egypt and how that he sent my man Moses down there and prepared him all his life, I believe, to be that man to bring the children of Israel out. And I thought about how that after that he brought them out and led them by the way, the Bible said the Lord went before them. He went by day and he was in the pillar of a cloud, and by the night he was in that pillar of fire to give them light. And I thought about it, it may be unusual this morning, but I thought about when God moves. Seemed like everything that I've said this morning before I ever got up to preach, opened up service, seemed like the word God moving came out. But I thought about when we move and we maybe get a new place of residence, how much preparation has to go in for us to make that journey. And I thought about when God gave us his word, he gave us something that's got life in it. I mean, this word is not like a fairy tale or maybe a book somebody's written, but this word has life. The Bible said that Jesus, he come in the volume of the book. Have it in the volume of this book, we can see Jesus all through this word. And have it in the first part of this book, from Genesis to Malachi, how that we can see Jesus in so many ways. But I thought about him through this book, how that God is not a stationary God. God moves. And I thought about how that these children of Israel, even though they wandered through the wilderness there for about 40 years, and that was because of their disobedience, it took them so long. And I thought that even though they were disobedient and they murmured, I know that because of their unbelief, there was thousands lost of their life and they were swallowed up in the earth, and that's how our world is today. But for those that did believe, you remember how Joshua and Caleb, they believed that God could deliver them and take them into that promised land. I thought about how that God was moving with them. I mean, he said how by day when they would make their journey, he would be in that cloud. The Bible said how God put that cloud over them, how to protect them from the sun, no doubt, and make their journey a little easier. Ain't you glad that God makes your journey a lot easier than what we really expect a lot of times? And I thought of how the Bible said that in the night time, that no doubt the world out there was in darkness, but the Bible said that the children of Israel, they had light to be with them through that fire. And who was in that pillar of the fire? It was God himself. And I thought about no matter when they might have made their journey, God moved with them. I mean, God wandered around with them in that wilderness, even though they were disobedient. God loved them and he cared for them and made life so much easier for them. And I'm glad today that God does the same for us. I mean, God moves in our life. These times that I may not recognize that God's around, but yet these other times that I know God is walking with me. And boy, I tell you what, there ain't nothing like it when you feel the hand of God upon your life. Just because I don't feel him, that don't mean he's not with me. And the Bible said we're living by faith, and without faith it is impossible to please God. And I'm glad the Bible said that faith is a substance. It's something faith is. It's a substance of things hoped for, and the evidence, thank God, I've got evidence in my life that God's walked with me. And God was given evidence through the whole Old Testament that he was walking with his people through the wilderness, by the cloud, by the fire,
And I thought about how the Bible says he moved. Said the Lord went before them by day. He never left them. He goes before us, church. He watches over things that maybe we are going to have a trouble getting through. He's already been there and took care of them. I've heard testimonies of some that's going to have surgeries and tests in the future. Don't worry. Things of God that's ahead of you, that's watching over you, that's done been through them, and he knows what the outcome is, and he'll give you the grace to bring you through it. And thank God, he's still moving in God's people's lives. The Bible said through the scripture, I was thinking this morning, I mean, from Genesis to Malachi, how much evidence they are that God's moving. I mean, every time the children of Israel, they murmur, they do it in a different way, but I'll tell you why here in just a little while. I'm going to have, when you move, you've got to pack up what you've got and move it to a new residence. And that's what God is doing right here, up through the wilderness, up through the Old Testament. We can read in the New Testament how this Old Testament is a schoolmaster, it's a teacher, to show us the things to come. Have God left examples, left pictures of things that would happen? And I will explain to you a minute of what a testament is. When you sign your will, that's a will of testament. Friend, the Bible teaches us that the one the will belongs to has to die before the inheritance comes. I'm glad Jesus Christ wrote the New Testament. He died for the New Testament, but yet he rose to give us victory, give us an inheritance. Thank God, it's through the blood that God moves today. I thought about how through this Old Testament, these children of Israel murmured because they got a little hungry. They complained because they said that we wanted this. Wouldn't it be better, they said. Don't tell them how many times that we make our graves back in Egypt. Wouldn't it be better down there in Egypt, and the onions and the garlic and the fat? I'd rather have milk and honey any day as garlic and onions. Oh, but friend, they could not get the vision. I see you gotta understand that they was a God that was with them. He went before them. He cared about them. That it was different than what it is today. That God was on a journey. He was making a move there to come to us today. That was lost and undone. We don't have Moses. We don't have Joshua. We don't have Elijah. But thank God, God was on a journey to give us somebody that could lead us and guide us in the right direction today. Now, I thought about how the Bible says he was in the cloud. God was in the cloud. God was in the fog. And he went before them. He moved with them. And I thought about the church. Well, I'm glad we've got somebody that moves with us. We come together on Sunday morning. We've had a week away from each other. I'm glad that the God we serve is able to go with every one of us today and go in our journey that we take. And he don't leave us, he don't forsake us, he goes with us. He said all the way to where? Up to the ends of the earth. I'm glad I've got a God that, thank God, he'll go to the uttermost, the guttermost. He'll go wherever I'm at, and he'll lead me, guide me, direct me, and give me hope through this life. And thank God, he'll give me a vision of my life to come.
Amen.
Now, I thought about this. Turn your Bibles over to John just a minute. Gospel according to St. John. The big John, we call it. Turn over there to about the 14th chapter. The book of John. I want to show you something. Now, through the Old Testament, we must agree that God was with them. They never got to cross the Red Sea. They never made it across Jordan when it was out of banks. They never had the food they needed. They would have starved to death and died in the wilderness if God hadn't sent down the manna from heaven. Can we agree that God was with them? Amen. Amen. How he may murmured, how but God was still with them. They failed God, but God still loved them. I'm glad the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. He may move, but he don't change. That's just because I may buy into the place and move into it. That don't mean I'm any different than I ever was. I may get a fancier house, a fancier car. I would think that I'd be the same today. I might drive a little faster. Upgrade my attitude in my life. Upgrade up to how God is. He don't change no matter where he's at. Though you might be down in a valley or on a mountaintop. Upgrade you might be sick with something called the flu. Or you might have a deadly disease. But whatever it is, God don't change. And it don't strength him one bit to heal the flu. Any more than he does cancer, he can take care of it if we just trust him and believe it today. A lot of times we'll grade God on how bad the situation might be. And we'll give up hope. Friend, it don't strain God to move a mountain more than it does a molehill. Amen. He's God. He moved with the children of Israel. And that was because what? He was with them. He's with us. There's no doubt. The devil would have veered you off the wrong path this morning. And I know some of you, you're like me. The devil fights, he tries to hinder. And I know today we can let him. I'm glad God's not just with us. And I want to say this. In the 14th chapter of the book of St. John, this is what Jesus said. In the 16th verse. Now, this is went from the Old Testament, the old will, the old one. And the Bible says in Hebrews that he set up a better covenant with man. A better promise. Something that's a lot easier. Amen. How many under the law they would lose arms, they would get stoned, they, all them things would happen because they broke God's law. And really it was proven that man could not be justified by the law because he was a sinful by nature creature. How we all sin and come short. And the reason we do that is because of the nature we have through that man Adam. That sin back there in the garden, all their blood comes from him down the road somewhere. And it's got the seed of sin in it. But I'm glad God seen that we couldn't help ourselves. Who are you dependent upon, preacher? I'm fully dependent upon Jesus Christ, the one that died for me and rose for me, and the blood that he shed to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now listen to this scripture. He said this in the 16th verse. Jesus did. He said, I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. With you. Notice that. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Now this ain't something that everybody's got. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. For he dwelleth with you. Ain't you glad of that? I've got some even better news. And he shall be in you. Now that's not in the Old Testament. thought about the church as a container. I'm not talking about this building. This is a building. This is a place of worship. But this ain't where the dwelling of God consists.
Right.
You can get a lost man in this church. Friend, the Spirit's not here. The Spirit dwells in God's people. Amen. We're the container. Having that happen, listen to what he said. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while in the world seeth me no more. But you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. All the gods in our world are serving besides Jesus. They're either dead or they're going to die.
Amen.
Amen. But the one we serve, he's alive.
Amen.
And that's heaven. If I go to town today, he'll be with me. He'll be in me.
Amen.
Boy, that's good to know.
Amen.
When a situation comes in my future that I don't know how I'm going to handle, he went before me. He's with me, and he's in me, and he shows me up through that Spirit that dwells in me. He said it's expedient that I go away. He said, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And he said, if I go, he said, I will send him. And he said, he will reprove this world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Thank God of things to come. I'm glad he knows my future. He's got a home prepared for me. He's took care of me this many years. And I've still got my soul banked on. I'm the one that died for me. And praise God, he said, he'd never leave me. I've got a friend. Oh, what a true friend in Jesus Christ today.
Right.
Now listen to what he said. Yet a little while, the 19th verse. And the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also.
Amen.
That ought to make a shout.
Amen.
Because the Bible said the wages of sin is death. How do we avoid that? Through Jesus Christ. How did he do that? He paid the price for sin.
Amen.
Amen. In fullness at Calvary. And then he said this, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father. Now listen to this. I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Hey, that's something Abraham and them couldn't say, because they didn't have the Spirit on them, the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. He was with them. He would come upon them. He would show them that. That Comforter that lives inside, that when trouble hits our household, that we can turn to. I don't have to run to the priest. I don't have to run to somebody religious. I can fall on my knees and go in the name of Jesus and come boldly up to the throne of grace, and I might obtain mercy to find grace. Thank God for grace. It's because he's in me, and the way it's in me, it's because of the grace of God. I can go to the Holy Father, and thank God, that's not the Pope, that's the one that died for the sin of the world.
Amen.
Praise his name. The Bible says, call no man holy, call no man father.
Amen.
I've got a dad and I've got a father, but religiously speaking, my holy father's the one that's set in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. How do you get to him? I don't have to go behind the curtain. Jesus died. He's that high priest that went in one time and offered himself and put his blood into the heavenlies and paid that ultimate price for sin. Because he lives, I'm alive. Amen. Because he lives, I don't have to die. This carcass will hit the ground, probably be buried somewhere. Have a friend, I don't have to die. I can live forevermore because of one I serve. He defeated death, he abolished death. And thank God through his resurrection, I've got victory in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen to this. Let's go to the 20th verse. Of that day you shall know that I am in my Father. Ye and me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself for him. You know something that amazes me? The love we have for our children, for these children in the church, I love them so much, I really do. And I thought about how when somebody does something wrong, children or somebody, the children we love so dearly. How that they's just a knot. You call it what you want. It's the knot comes about right here. And it hurts you. Think somebody would hurt a small child or your children or even somebody you love dearly. But I thought about the Father. The one that was perfect. Came down obedient unto death. Child that the Father had, the Son the Father had no mistakes, full of humility. He never come down to be ministered unto. He come down to minister. He come to serve. And I thought how long-suffering that God is. By allowing His Son, He knew it had to be done. But yet He didn't have to let it go on. By allowing His Son to be beat, whipped, and mocked, even crucified. But I'm glad the Scripture says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, don't matter who you are, how little you've got or how much you've got, whosoever will, let him come. I'm glad today He put the whosoever in there that would believe. I'm glad today it don't take a rocket scientist to be saved. Amen. It just takes believing the gospel. Amen. And confessing Christ as your Savior. He's the only one that can save you. And what happens? God no doubt has been with you all your life. If He hadn't been, the devil would have killed you. But until you get Christ in you, you'll never be profitable to go to heaven. Never be able. You've got to get Christ in you. Because when the Father sees you in judgment, even though He's been around you and been with you, and no doubt watched over you in many things, you say, well, preacher, does He watch over the lost? Yes, He watches up. If He didn't watch over them, they'd be dead right now. The devil would take them out while He's lost or they'd go to hell. But God's giving them grace right now. He's long-suffering and He's able to do that. But friend, they'll repent, believe the gospel, they can have somebody in them that they can come to the Father. Oh, what manner of love is the Father that bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? I'm telling you, God can move in. He's moving today. But He wants to come in and make you His residence. But the only way He can do that is to clean the residence up. And the only thing that will clean it up is nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. That will wash you, purge you, and make you whole tonight. You say, I believe in God all my life. You believe in God all you want to. And it'd take probably somebody that's plumb blind not to believe there's a God. Ain't nobody can make grass grow. Ain't nobody can make it rain. We might say a war dance. Bro, you can't make it rain. You can't do things like that. It takes somebody that just didn't have no sense to believe in what the God. I'm going to tell you what. Just believe in there's a God. I won't even get you glory. Amen. Amen. About every religion in it says a supreme being. But you've got to have to believe that somebody died for you. Amen. You can have God with you, but you've got to have Jesus in you. Because when God sees you in judgment, if He don't see His Son in you, He's going to say, depart. I never knew you. And this easy believism stuff, repeat after me and get baptized. You're going to heaven and nothing change ain't salvation. Brother, something happens in your life when you truly believe. When you truly see you're lost on your way to hell, you'll see your need to be saved. But until then, you can't be saved. Listen to what Jesus said about it. Jesus said in the 6th chapter of the book of John, about the 44th verse, He said, no man can come to me unless the Father which sent me draws him. They have to be a draw. They have to be conviction. You have to be sorry for your sin. You're not just going to skip to Malou up the aisle and get saved. You've got to be brokenhearted. I remember the night God saved me. That old preacher broke me. He not only remember what all he said, but I remember the Holy Ghost broke me that night. I was lost. I was on the way to hell. I was ashamed of my life. I knew I couldn't do it alone. Maybe God was with me all my life. No doubt He was. But there wasn't something that lived in me yet. But thank God Jesus Christ took residence up. He to know him in a free pardon of sin. You can read the commandments all you want, you'll forget one if you ain't careful. You'll wonder if you done wrong. But when the Spirit moves in, he said, it need no man teach you. Because that anointing the Holy Ghost gives you shows you. That's why we feel convicted when we do wrong. I'm glad I do. If I didn't, I'd worry. I ain't had anything. It's because there's one that's divine that lives in me. That's holy, that's righteous. I believe Paul said, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Apostle John over there, little John said, he said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Apostle Paul said this in the book of Galatians. He said, it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that liveth in me. He says, by the faith of the Son of God, and that's what I'm living by. And if you don't know him in a free pardon of sin, never believe. But if you claim him as your Savior, but he don't live in. He said, if you're ashamed to confess me before this sinful and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed to confess you before my Father and his holy angels today. It's not just going to have to actually happen getting saved. You say, preacher, maybe I'll make it. If you ain't saved, you ain't going to make it. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody needs to tell our people that.
Right.
You can join every church swing here in California and go to hell. You've got to be born again.
Right.
Once you're born again, though, you'll know that there's somebody that lives in you greater than what you are.
Amen.
Praise his holy name. He was with them through the Old Testament. But until Christ died and rose and sent the Spirit back, he was still with him. But when he done that, we are able for him to move in. He'll clean you up. A lot of people says, I'll straighten up, then I'll get saved. You'll never straighten up enough for God. We're sinners. The only way you'll get right with God's come through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. And our world is trying to make a fine line for salvation. They got religion right down to a T, and they're trying to get our people deceived. These false prophets that standing behind the pulpits this morning, how they're denying the deity of Jesus Christ. They're denying that he's all powerful. They're denying that he's one way. No, he's the only way today. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. You've still got to go through the one that God was pleased to bruise, and that's Jesus Christ. He died for the wicked that we might have life, have it more abundant today.
Amen.
And I thought how the world is being so deceived. Laying down of a night, counting on a signature maybe they signed in a church. Counting on where they went up because their buddy went up. Until you're convicted, you'll never be saved. And if God's convicting you this morning, you better take advantage of it. It don't matter who you are. You may be busy or lost as you can be. Listen, what's important is it's getting eternity took care of. But I'll tell you something else you can do. You can leave this building with joy and peace with God. Turn your Bibles back over to John just a minute. John 14, I believe it is. Listen to this, what he said. Jesus said this in the 27th verse. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, if the world tries to give you peace, you're going to be troubled. But he said, neither let it be afraid. We don't have to worry, church. Because he's not just with us. He's in us. He's already. That's what being baptized in the Holy Ghost is. We got denominations say, well, I've been saved. I ain't never been baptized. But you ain't never been saved until you get dipped in the Holy Ghost. And how do you get there? It's by repenting your sin, believing the gospel, and saying, Lord, I believe what you've done for us. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. And then he'll dip you in his love, in the Holy Ghost, fill you with his Spirit, and give you something you know you got today.
Amen.
He said this, yeah. Let not your heart let it be from me. He said, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. He's telling us this so we'll believe. be baptized. I heard a man describe this one time in the Holy Ghost. To be saved. I know you'll feel Spirit moving your life more than others and be filled more probably at times. But if you ain't ever been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're still dirty. The water don't get you clean. Because you go out and lay in that dirt, and he'll you have to wash again. But God can wash the inside. He said it's like a ship when it sinks. And I thought about this. He said the water's around it. The water's in it. And it's engulfed in that water. And there's not a place in that ship that's open that water can get to. That water will not touch. It's the same way with our soul. We've got to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ and made white in the way and washed in the blood. That's the only way God will accept us today. You can't do a little devil to me. You've got to be dipped in the blood. You've got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You've got to be filled with Spirit. And thank God, how you get that? It ain't complicated. Jesus made it easy. He went to Calvary. He went to the tomb. He rose victorious. If you can believe that, I thank God enough you'll claim Him as your Savior. He'll save you today.
Amen.
It's not complicated. But our world is making it complicated. Our world is trying to satisfy the flesh, trying to draw crowds by entertainment. The old time preaching of Calvary is just about a thing of the past. I was thinking about the first song we sung. I know that sometimes we struggle getting things going. Amen. Sometimes it's not as easy to sing as others. But if you'd read the words in that song, you'd appreciate it. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Hadn't been for that, I'd been a waste of my time. I've been sweating for no reason this morning. Because He died and because He rose, I can give you hope through the blood of Jesus today.
Amen.
Praise His holy name. As everybody stands this morning, this altar is open. You talk about a God that moves. He moved from being with us and moved to being in us. He took up residence. He found Him a home He wanted to live in. Why were we created? That we might have fellowship with Him. How can we have fellowship with the Holy God? We had to be cleaned up. He had to move in. And the only way we can do that, He'll not move in your residence and you not want Him there. But you invite Him in. He'll do the cleaning up. He'll do the straightening up. He'll take your filthy language. He'll take your habits. He'll give you joy unspeakable today. As they sing in the songs, come. God made a journey. He showed us through His Old Testament the great miracles that He could do so that we would believe. When this time comes, when the conviction of God begins to be placed on your heart, you need to know that you're saved. Personally, by His death, burial, and resurrection, thank God He'll give you hope. He's revealing who you really are to yourself. You're not like that. But yet He still loves you enough.
Appreciate all the ones that's come out. Maybe somebody's got a word of testimony.